You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw. Pops and fires the ball. Over the middle.
Harmon, he comes back, say goodbye. Ahmad Black, in his final game as a Gator, takes it all the way home and sends Urban out a winner.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your boy Corey.
And Dan. Man, I feel like we've rolled back 5 years now.
Right? We'll give and go action, man, to the original two. How you doing today on this fine Sunday, man?
Good, man. Good. It's had a good weekend. I want to give a shout out to Shelton and his crew there, High Top Sports, who's up in Gainesville for their golf tournament. I guess it's been a first annual golf tournament. Hopefully next year it's not in the middle of August, but they raised a ton of money for a couple of charities that there are for Isaiah 117, which is a great charity. And then a lot of people, I think about 100 people that were out there, just an overall great event. Want to give them a shout out, but a good, nice, relaxing weekend. I went to a baby shower yesterday and nice, relaxing evening. And then today we're recording at 1 PM on a Sunday morning. Just, We wanted to get with you guys. It's been a while since Corey and I did something. Scheduling conflicts. We mentioned some stuff was going to change, so we're going early this Sunday because we've got Scott Strickland tomorrow. So we'll get the whole crew back together tomorrow.
No doubt, man. Not a whole lot for me. Just football's in the air. I tell you that, man. Enjoying it from a high school level. A lot of big matchups in South Florida. Got to check out Palm Beach Central, Miami Northwestern on Friday. Spinning the block yesterday, Chaminade versus Norland, Miami.
Okay.
Chaminade got a team. I think Chaminade may be the best team in South Florida. They just absolutely loaded. They got about six receivers that are like power five guys, like top tier. Okay. And Brady Quinn is an awesome quarterback too as well.
Wait, same Brady Quinn? Like child of the other Brady Quinn?
I don't know if they're related. I don't even know. Like, I don't think it's his son. Can't be his son, right?
I mean, it can be, technically.
But don't know if there are any relations, but the kid can play. He's more of a Baker Mayfield type mode.
Okay.
Not a big quarterback. And he's right at 6 foot, maybe 6'1" if he got the right cleats on. But a gamer, he could play. He got a money strong on there. Got to see our money again in person, physical specimen. Now, I think he's going to be, you know, one of those dudes. He hit 28 kids, so he got another year to come back. But, yeah, I got to check those guys out. Norman has a pretty good quarterback as well. He just doesn't have the ammunition around him that Brady has. But, nah, I enjoyed this weekend. It was hot out there. And I need that daylight savings. So I need to get darker a little bit sooner, bro. It's steamy.
Yeah, man. Up in Gainesville, I think the heat index in the middle of the day Friday was like 112. And then the rain started literally maybe 5 minutes after everything finished up with the golf tournament. I had to do a mid-round shirt change. It's something I've never done before. My polo was one color of blue. It was a different color of blue like halfway through the front nine. So I had to do an outfit change. Shelton beat me. I know he's going to call it out. So his team did beat our team. I wouldn't say the most evenly matched up teams, but overall a great day. Got to see Gator Dave, obviously Shelton, Hollywood was there. Cody was there. A lot of fans of this show were there. So it was great to see everybody there and everybody for letting us know that they listen to the show and how meaningful we've been at different parts of their life. That's always a really cool experience. And one that you kind of feel, I don't want to say like it just makes you feel very grateful, right? And sometimes you just don't know how to react to a comment like that. So it's really, really cool to be up there, knowing that I'll be up in Gainesville, you know, probably four or five times over the next 3 months. It's a good reminder why I often choose to go to the games in the end of September, October, and November, not the ones that are in August. I'll tell you that much, bro. But we got Ciante Lewis joining on the show a little bit later today. We're going to catch up. Corey wasn't able to be on the pod last week, so we might rehash some of those topics. But let's get a couple quick ad reads, Corey, then we'll get on with the show.
Stadium Miguel is powered by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the Panhandle to the Keys, my man Greg is the best of the best in the business. I'm sure he can save you some money. I'm a customer of Greg. Dan is. Jordan is, and a lot of my dad, Pete, my brother, a lot of people around my circle use Greg. It doesn't cost you anything just to pick up the phone, give them a call at 954-589-2204 and see if you can save you some money. If you're more of an internet person, don't really want to make that phone call, visit them at bruntinsurance.com. Shout out to my man Greg, the best of the best doing it, man. Home, auto, life insurance, anything with wheels pretty much. If it floats, you probably can insure that as well. Boats, jet skis, etc. 954-589-2204, bruninsurance.com.
I completely forgot. Nick's not here. We completely messed up the whole flow of the pod. That's my fault. Greg, what it do, baby? In my best Nick impression. And then one time for our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, a group of attorneys that used to work on behalf of the insurance companies now work to represent you and help you. Storm damage, water damage, hurricanes, leaks, sinkhole damage, whatever it might be, give them a call at 727-258-0043 or DykusBurkeLaw.com. And Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, 727-258-0043. A worthy number this time of year to have in your phone. A couple quick shout-outs before we get on the show. JLB coming from Canada. Always good to see you, brother. Gerard, Ohio. TJ Allison. Gerard. I don't know where Gerard, Ohio is. I don't know where Gerard, Ohio is. Hopefully it's one near one of the big cities over there. It's good to see you, Eric. Ace. Mr. Korn, great to see you, brother. Appreciate the comments of the golf swing. Good to hang out with him, student at UF. His dad was out there as well. Really, really cool kid, and has a golf swing on him. He's got an unbelievable hook to his shot, but if he can figure that out, he's got a bright future. So I would love to see the chat participate today. Feel free to ask any questions as we wait for C-Lou. But Corey, last week we had the chance to talk about a little bit about the Spurrier jersey. So let's pull up what the Gators are going to wear this entire season, game by game. We broke it last week that the Gators were going to wear the throwback Spurrier white jerseys that had hit the timeline a couple weeks before they were announced by our friends over at Breakfast with the Gators. But we're going to be wearing those white jerseys for homecoming. But a lot of unique and different combinations that we haven't seen. We're wearing blue helmets four times this year. The traditional blue with the Gators script for three of those games, a blue with the old school F logo, and then four with the traditional orange jerseys. But we have the leaked uniforms up here, or not the leaked uniforms. This is what they're wearing. But we have the uniform ordered. Corey, what are your thoughts this year?
Didn't know how I would feel about the blue when I saw this. Right, I seen this graphic hit the timeline. I was like, I don't know about the blue. I haven't seen that combination, but worn, it looks better worn than I would say on this sheet. I thought it looked milky, man. It was smooth when I seen the boys drop the little video on Gators Football's socials. I don't know. I like the blue helmets, but not that much, right? I think we went a little OD on the blue helmets, man. Like, where's my all white? I'm a big all white guy. Give me the icy white from top to bottom at least one time a year. So that's my only complaint. I'm not a big uniform complaint guy.
Right.
I do get traditional people that likes, you know, traditional things. And I get both sides. But I want to see all white on an annual basis. I do like the throwback Spurrier look. Which game are we wearing those on?
That would be homecoming. It's against South Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not mad at any of the uniform combinations. My only complaint is we went – a little OD on the blue helmets, and I at least need all white one time a year. What do you think about him letting the players choose it?
You know, there's some real thoughts on the timeline about this, and I don't know if it was just being busy with other things or I'm just kind of over the discussion. I thought it was, there's both sides of the coin, right? Like, I've seen some people, they're like, why are we letting 1 year mercenaries help decide what they're wearing? Okay. I can see that. Yeah. Blue Orange Gator put that one out. Blue, I know you were pretty perturbed. I know our friends over at Breakfast with the Gators had some takes on the same side of that coin. On the flip side of it, it's these are the guy, and I'm sure it wasn't just a, I mean, do you know how the vote went down? I don't imagine it was everybody got a vote. I would imagine probably some sort of leadership group, you know, got the chance. I don't mind them wearing things different and having some different uniform combinations on here. I do think the blue helmets three times is a little much, and not the old school throwback one that they're wearing against South Carolina, but the other one, because we've only seen those maybe two times before total. So I like the traditional orange helmet. I think it's one of the most classic in terms of what's a new era of helmet in college football. I think it's really clean. It's really crisp. So I'm not trying to say that I don't have an opinion one way or another that the players picked. I don't mind that the players picked and players got involved because that's what they have to wear every game. But I think the blue helmet, maybe we can do for once a year from now on.
Yeah. I don't get the people that, like, we're not Kentucky. Why are we wearing our – there's plenty of orange in there, and then the helmets say Gators, my boy. Like, I like that all blue. I would like to see the shoe combination, what Jordans they put on with them. The shoe always finish off the outfit. I don't care if you're on or off the field. The shoes is going to be that one that takes the outfit over the top. So I'd love to see what cleats we're wearing with these outfits.
Do you know when we're wearing the blue uniforms?
FAU back on.
Was it? Is that the order in which we're wearing them?
Yeah, I seen another graphic that went out. And shout out to my man Flowers. We're doing some merch drops. Which are his content, not content. His apparel line, the Tweakers. We're dropping that in a little minute. But we're going to mimic his drops around the color schemes of the player's uniform. So the FAU, I'm pretty sure they went all blue at the FAU.
So I would have loved for that, because that's going to be the first game of the year, first game under John Summerall, and it's against FAU. I don't know if I love the all blues kicking off the first game of an era at home in a game that I don't know if you need the swag for. Again, I'm not 100% certain, Corey. I think you're going to certainly know more than I am on the combination that we're going to do. I would have loved to just go out in the traditional orange, blue, white. I think that the big game blues should be for the big game. Maybe because you threw the blue helmet on there, they're not the big game blues anymore. You know, now they're just the blues. Because I remember over the last 20 years or so, we seldom ever wore all blue. And I don't remember who the first, because we didn't really wear it much during Urban. I know we wore it at least a couple of times, but it was always saved for that one big game. And I would like to keep that and maybe I am a little bit more of a traditionalist in that regard, where if you're going to set something up like this, then do it against a game that really matters, where you want to get the fans, you know, hyped, and you see something a little bit different, a little bit crisp. I think it kind of loses its luster. But maybe that's their point, too, is like maybe it shouldn't matter as much. Maybe for 3 days the internet shouldn't be melting down collectively, because it was both sides. It wasn't one side or the other. Both sides were just so digging their feet into the sand, where it's like maybe it doesn't matter that much, and maybe this is what the players want. And whether you think they're one-year mercenaries or this is their fifth year at Florida, like, they're the ones that have to wear it anyway.
I still, like, even if I hate the uniforms, like, we had those swamp uniforms that came, I hated those, but I'm not wearing them, right? I'm just win the football game, and I really don't care what you're wearing. That's where I'm at as a fan. Like, this stuff is for winning programs to be crying about. we got to win football games, baby. Like, I don't really care what color the outfits are, man. I do like that all blue. I like all. I have my favorites, but I'm not going to be – during game week, that's not going to be a gripe of mine. Like, I'm going to be locked in on just getting more points than the other team.
What'd you think of the blue, orange, white jersey? And that was one where the internet was
that
a
was
bit
funky.
Yeah. Has it grown on you at all, or
it's funky, man. Like, I'm not, like, I just, the combo, it looks too John Elway-ish for me. Like,
okay,
it looks too Denver Broncos for me. I mean, if you like it, then cool. If you're a fan out there listening to the show, like, don't get mad at me or cancel me or anything like that. If you like it, cool. But I think it just came off. We still need to look like the Florida Gators. I think with all blue, we still look like UF. With that combination, that just looked. And I don't see that on this chart. Is that one that we're wearing this game? Or they just kind of threw that out there?
No, that's the second. That's the second one. The blue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that combo. Give me an orange helmet right there. White, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the orange. I think the white. We've never done white, orange, white, I don't think. I don't know. It grew on me a little bit, not to a point where I loved it. Ciante Lewis just popped in the green room. I want to get his thoughts on the uniforms and what his perspective is on that. But I think for me, the biggest qualm, I don't love the blue, orange, white. We've never done it before. So that might be, you know, interesting to see how it works, how it looks. Maybe try something new. I don't know what game they're going to play it in. It's going to be real funky if you lose a game when you're trying to wear the real funky uniform for the first time. But and I'm not saying that I think the uniform matters. I just think that people are then going to ascribe it to, like, we lost and this, right? It's just another reason to pile on. So I love the throwback uniforms. And then obviously I love the traditional. We haven't done the orange helmet, white jersey, orange pants in a while either. But I know you like the crispy all whites. I like the crispy orange helmet with the all whites too. I think that stands out really well.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one as well.
This is what you have. So we've got Ciante Lewis waiting. When he comes back on video, we'll bring him into the show.
We have some scrimmage intel. We'll talk about the scrimmage as we, you know, wind down, get, you know, our conversation with Ciante. But we got y'all. We'll chop it up.
Yeah, we're going to chop it up about that. We're going to chop it up a little bit more tomorrow as well. Again, we have Scott Strickland. Where we're going to record that one, we're not going to do it on a live feed for, I think, obvious reasons. So then after that, we will we'll post that, but we'll have a discussion afterwards on everything there. But I guess with that, let's bring Ciante on. But one time for our friends, pardon me, over at Game Time Sidekicks, go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code Stadium15 and get a really cool cup like this one. It's going to keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code Stadium15. And then for the first time in, I think, like 14 years, I get to see my boy Ciante Lewis, who I met when he was like practicing with Bo Scar. Oh, you can't hear us?
I could hear you for a second. Now I can't hear you.
You can't hear us? What about now?
You hear me? Refresh.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah, hop out and then hop back in.
I still can't hear y'all.
Okay, let me text a little while.
All right. We're gonna take him out of the room real quick. Corey will troubleshoot with him. Ciante, I went to an event when I was living in Orlando, so this is at least 13, 14 years ago. Is Richard Johnson, who works for ESPN, and Nick Dellatore, Andrew Spivey, a couple other people there. We got to meet C. Lou, and we're going to talk about him, Gator Chomping Cam Newton, too, which was at that.
I mean, C. Lou's been in awesome situations, man.
Yes. He's a fun dude, man. But at the time, I think he was still an under the radar recruit, and then he just continued to climb the ladders and perform. So, see if it's if he can get it working. Live radio,
man. Football's back though. All the senseless arguments and the. You know, you can start feeling the fan divide. I hit you up. It was like, I put something on Twitter. People always think, like, anytime you say something, like, we say something is beef or Like, no, I'm just minus fan base. it ain't that deep, man. But it's that time of the year, man. Football is in the air, and you know the keeping of scrimmage notes, like when you reveal it, closing practice. Everybody got opinions on each side of everything. You know, as we get closer to the season, man. So fun time.
You got to see.
Yeah, I'm good now, man. I'm
cool.
Good.
Man. Cool. Well, we're gonna redo this intro. So I met Ciante Lewis when he was with Bo Scarborough at an event, and I think at IMG in Sarasota like 14 years ago. He gator chomped Cam Newton when he was there. He was making some unbelievable catches during that game. And C. Lou had a good career at the University of Florida and is now an assistant college football coach. So we're excited to get to know C. Lou a little bit more. C, how you doing, brother?
Man, good, man. Good to be on here with y'all, guy, man.
That's good to
appreciate
see
you. Appreciate you for pulling up, man. I hit you up late last night, man. So it was like, you know, probably random as hell, but a guest that we talked about plenty of times on this show, bro. So it's good to tap back in with you, man, and see what you got with you.
I've been tuned in, man. Been watching, man. Yeah, man. I love everything, though, for real, for real.
See, talk to us a little bit. You're from a really small part of Alabama. Bo Scarborough is what? Your cousin, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Bo Scarborough. We both from Utah, Alabama. A little small town, like 30 minutes below Tuscaloosa in West Alabama. We both moved from Utah, Alabama, like seventh grade. And then it's like he went to Tuscaloosa, like ninth grade. He got offered by probably every school in the country, which is how, like, probably like 5 or 6 years later, my 11th grade year, we ended up playing together at Northridge High School, which is how I ended up getting the Florida offer. You know, Brian White, the running back coach, had came to Northridge to watch Bo at practice. Just so happened, Bo didn't even practice that day, but every school was literally at the practice field. And I just made a couple catches, you know. Yeah, I think the next day, Brian White called me, the running back coach, and he was like, man, I'm going to tell the staff about you, you know. I like what I seen. Yeah, that was, you know, then when they offered me, and that was the rest was history. I mean, when Florida offered me, Florida State offered me the next day. And then Miami offered me the day out on Florida State, and then it just went from there.
What was that like? Oh, go ahead, Corey.
Now, did you and Bo ever have a conversation about, you know, possibly did you try to get him to come to UF when you committed? Like, what was that like?
So what it was, you know, at the time that when we had Mac Jones and Mac Brown, we had big running back like Bo. So I was telling Bo, like, man, them guys gonna graduate. After our freshman year, you come in, you're going to take over the room. Like, he would have been, if Bo came to Florida, he would have been the man. He would have been Mac Brown, and he would have been all those guys mixed together, really. But, we tried to get him to come to Florida a couple times, you know, but it just, with him being in Tuscaloosa and having all access to Alabama, everything to Alabama, I mean, it's kind of hard to try to flip him, you know.
For sure.
What was that like for you, though? You come from a real small town. I was looking it up. There's like 2,700 people that live there. So you get the opportunity to go get recruited by, you know, Florida, Florida State, Miami, a bunch of other schools around the country. What was that like? What was your thought process, you know, not only to commit to Florida, but what was your mindset to get your mind right on making that right decision for yourself?
Well, the decision I made was, you know, I grew up in, like, my community, you know, there's a lot of trouble there and a limited opportunity. So when I moved to Tuscaloosa, you know, I'm at a bigger school, a 6A school where, you know what I'm saying, I get the chance for to play against bigger schools and guys that, you know, have D1 offers, like Marlon Humphrey. Like, I played against him at Hoover, Rock Thomas at Oxford. I played against a lot of guys, you know. So I was getting the opportunity to be seen now, you know, and – with me being on the field with Bo, like, that just was a, you know, an extra, you know, a plus just being out there with him and being his cousin. So, man, you know, just he really, you know, helped me, you know, get to where I was, you know what I'm saying? It was a blessing to play beside him. But with me and him growing up together, I had to get away so I wouldn't get comfortable. You know, I was used to being around him every day and my same friends. And I just, when I went to Gainesville, it's like no other campus I ever went to, like, I just love Florida. Like, that's why I never thought about transferring from Florida. Like, to this day, I'm a Gator. Like, when I seen the campus, how they treated me when I got there, like, from the seniors, I remember just Jacobs and DJ Humphrey, Andre the Boast, like, all them guys took me in on my visit. So when I used to come back, like, coming up into my senior year, I felt like I was already on the team, you know what I'm saying? So it was easy for me to go to Gainesville.
What was your official visit process look like? Did you take more than one, or did you just do UF? Like,
the only official visit I counted UF, I went to UAB, but I just did that because I was bored on the weekend. You know, just I ain't had nothing to do, so I was like, I'd take official to UAB. They were 30 minutes away, but like I said, man, like Florida was, you know, from ever since Brian White and them offered me, man. Like, they treated me, you know, good, man. Like, they made sure I was good when I got to Florida. And the whole time I was there, like, Muschamp, them, like, you know, like, the official visit. Man, I can't talk about what we did on the official visit, but it was great, man. You know, we did it up, man, for real. Gainesville, I'm not like that no more. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's not like that. It's just it's different, I would say. But who hosted you? Who was your host?
Man, Mike Taylor, and Tevin Westbrook. It was Mike T and Tevin Westbrook. That's who had me. And then when I came back, I had Leon Orr and DJ Humphries. That's what the time. Both of them were fun. But when I was with DJ Humphries and Leon Orr, that's probably was the time where I really met all the big time guys and were kicking it for real, you know.
That makes sense. Leon Orr is quite the character, my guy.
Yeah, man. He's a good dude, man. Him and DJ. Sure. All them guys looked out for me, though, man. They the reason I'm CeeLo, so, you know, yeah.
Because you had a connection to when McElwain was here to Drew Hughes, right? Because Drew really went into Alabama.
Yeah, so Drew is the one who was recruiting Alabama at the time. You know, so I was the only – when I came to Florida, I was the only player from Alabama on the team. So I think Drew came with Coach Mack. So when Drew came, man, he had already knew me since high school. So he was like, I got to get some more guys in, you know, from home. So when Drew came, Drew went and got P. Ryan, Moon, McPherson, Tony, you know, all those boys. He went and Juwan Taylor, you know, all them boys. He went and got everybody. So, you know, he looked out for me on that end because I really was, you know, really by myself, you know, coming from Alabama. I was the only guy. So that kind of like made me comfortable with them coming out to my freshman year. So,
yeah.
Yeah, Drew Hughes, he did his thing, man. He looked out for us too, you know.
Yeah, and he's back in Florida.
He's back too. Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, we had him on the show probably 4 or 5 months ago. He's elated to be back in Gainesville.
Man, he loved the Gators, man. That's what I'm saying. That's the type of guy we need around, people that actually love what's going on and care about the players, you know. When I would die, I really feel like we ain't have too many people that cared about us as players, you know. So it's good they got the old guy back.
Cause you played for Muschamp, McElwain, and Mullen, right?
Yeah.
What was that? We're gonna talk a lot about other stuff, but what was that like going through three? So you have the end of one, he gets fired. You have an interim coach, then McElwain comes in, very different, obviously, than Muschamp. And then you stick around through the peanut butter and jellies and humping sharks. He leaves, and then Mullen comes, and he's different than all three of them, right? So what was that like for you as a player in those 5 years?
Yeah, man, you know, it was challenging. People didn't understand, you know, every coach come in trying to bring in their own guys. So they kind of like made it, like that's a lot of stress, you know what I'm saying, trying to learn a different playbook almost every other year, you know what I'm saying, getting a different position coach every year. And then just trying to compete every year, not knowing if you're going to ever be comfortable. You know, some guys, they had the same coach, same quarterback, and they start their whole career, so they get comfortable and they can just get better. You know, at Florida, we were dealing with so much stuff on top of losing our coach. You know, then you're trying to compete for the tight end position. We having different guys come in every year, so it was crazy, man, for real. But I like that process because it showed me the type of person I was, you know, trying mm-hmm. to somebody out every year, you know. It never let me got comfortable for real. So it was challenging, but you know, it made me a better man, made me who I am today. But yeah, man, that was hard, man, trying to have three different head coaches. But I really say I wish I could have been said that Jim McElwain should have had more time, man. You know, yeah. A lot of people don't know if people stick off of Matt, but Matt, for him to come and go to SEC championship back to back, and then you lose 25 starters, it's gonna be real hard to try to go win. Mm-hmm. You know, we lost Callaway, Scarlett. You lost the whole defense almost. Like, we lost everybody for real. So, we weren't going to win. So, I really feel like that wasn't a fair year. And then that man cared for us, man. That man came in and got us money. That's where the trouble came from, you know. So, we wouldn't have been getting in trouble if they would have gave us more money and took care of us, you know. Y'all making me millions of dollars. We were struggling at Florida, man. And for Mac to win, that's why he get my respect. Because we were broke, man. We were broke as hell, man. That man, you know, like, he looked out for us, man. We still won and we were broke. So just imagine if we were like the guys, like at Alabama, that had all these people that get them money and take care of them. Man, we would have been good, you know. Like, we were worrying about what we was gonna eat the next day, for real. Like, you know, like. So yeah, man. Jim McElwain. Not saying much, much on the reason I came to Florida. I love Coach Muschamp and I love Dan Mullen, you know. But it's just Jim McElwain with the realest to me, you know. That's the one who I feel cared about us the most and really ain't give a damn about what he had to go through for to get things done here. Like, he'll go through whatever he got to go through for to get whatever he needed for us. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good perspective. I'm glad, like, we could dive into that a little bit. I think what did McElwain in more than anything was him saying the death threats, the fan, you know, the fan part of it, right? I think the pressure at UF, at most schools, it ain't just a UF thing. At most of the SEC powerhouses, the fan pressure can get intense. Noise in the system is what Jeremy Foley used to call it, right? So it was a little noise in the system. He spoke with death threats, and that kind of got him out of there. And I know you had your brush-ins with fans, etc. So what was that like from a just team perspective? Because we've seen a few players on the team have fan interaction. So what was that like from you guys' perspective dealing with?
Yeah, the fan one, I really didn't feel like our fan was as loyal they should have been. You know, it's so wishy-washy. Like, they with us when we win, and then sooner we lose. It's so, like, that's all I love Florida, you know what I'm saying? But the fans, like, they were, like, hard on us, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, that's part of the game, but at the same time, you know, if your own people are against you, you feel me, you know, it's kind of hard to go out there and try to shine, you know, when everybody, it wasn't enough loyalty with our fans. That's what I say, it wasn't enough loyalty. It's too damn hard on us.
Yeah, it was. I can only imagine. I want to hear your perspective on that. I mean, I think the Gators, a lot, along with a lot of other big programs, have a pretty rabid fan base, and social media has never made it easier to be louder, whether you have the right perspective or not. You know, I think overall, there's just very high expectations sometimes. Very well-placed expectations. Sometimes you don't have the perspective of, hey, we just lost 25 starters on our team. We're probably not going to be as good as we were before. But the expectation is, well, we went to the SEC championship twice. And it's like, well, you lost twice too. It's like, all right, well, so you as players, where I'm going with this question is, where do you as players kind of rally around behind that and support each other without trying to let that the rabidness of Florida's fan base or a lot of other fan bases kind of get in your head?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, both of the years that we went to the SEC championship, I don't even think that we was like ranked in the like when the preseason things came out. I don't think that we were ever really ranked, or if we was, we wasn't expected to do what we had.
No high expectation, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, like, that's what was crazy. Like, okay, they were saying we wasn't going to even make the SEC championship. Then we go 6-0. If we didn't lose Will Griffin, we win the national championship. So people talking, we would have won the national championship. We just had beat the shit out of Ole Miss. And for Treon having for the start and then played damn near the whole season for him to lose by a touchdown. If Callaway catch the ball, if not saying he's the reason we lost, but if we catch the ball, we win. Well, we in the game. Shoot, it's a different game. We beat LSU, we win the national championship. Everybody know that. We weren't stunting on down Alabama because Alabama wasn't who they was for real, for real. We just didn't have a starting quarterback. It was a whole lot of wide open passes in the SEC championship. Oh, Eddie Jackson had a lot of busts back there at free safety. And I can call it. We can go watch film. If you go watch film, if you know football, you will see that if Treon Harris went back there and we had a real girl quarterback, we win championship. So, yeah, that's all. We know the facts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when you know the facts and you a real Gator and you know football, you understand, man.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaking season for me, man. Because I was like, after that Tennessee game, I was at, bro. I'm just on cloud nine, and then watching that following week, us beat snot out of Ole Miss, like it felt nostalgic. I thought, okay, man, we back. Like, you know,
that game was nuts because it was a night game, and I think it was like a little bit earlier, maybe like 6:30. The swamp was rocking, and the Ole Miss was ready. The Ole Miss game.
Oh, yeah, the Ole Miss game. Oh, yeah, man. That was crazy.
It was bonkers, man.
Oh, my God, man.
It was so loud. That's the most nostalgic I felt.
Kim DT Twin, they had all those boys, man. They were loaded. You know, I don't even think we were supposed to win that game.
Oh, no.
So thanks. It was like number two team, number three team in the country at that point.
I was hurt during that time. See, I came back Georgia game that season. Because I had broke my hand during the Kentucky week.
That's right.
So I was out during those games. But, man, that was the best game, man. I really feel like it was a setup or something, man, because I was on that drug table with Will Grill. So, you know, like, man, you know, that was crazy, man. Now, that was something crazy right there. Just, man, like, you just imagine.
Because it was like, right before the LSU game, right?
We were 6-0. Like, Monday of Kentucky game. I mean, Monday of LSU game. They come in and tell us Will Grill can't play no more.
He heard of somebody.
The drug test was that Monday.
Something not right about this white boy. He jumping over people.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that part, but yeah. You know.
I can't talk about somebody, bro. They was like, nah, something not right here, man. We got to test him, man.
Shoot. I wish they wouldn't have tested him though. Shoot.
Same.
What was it like as a team though? Like how deflating, like did the locker room still believe in Treon at that time? Like what were you guys at before the L started piling up?
See, you know, the reason why people was kind of like shaking on when Treon came in because we had already seen all the stuff Treon had been through with the situation he was going through freshman year. So with him going through that, he missed the spring, I think. So he ain't practiced. I think Treon came back in camp, like the beginning of camp or something. I think they cleared him for the play again during camp. So us knowing, you know, what's going on, we like, man, it ain't going to be the same. Like we come to Will Grill, like we had been with Will Grill since spring, you know. So when Treon got there, like he was good, but He wasn't in his playbook, you know. He went up the par like he should have been. So, and he was rushed it. So that was his first game starting LSU game. It wasn't, you know, like a small game. It was a big game.
Right.
It was a lot on the line too. So I really feel like if he could have had a game to get prepared for LSU, he would have did good. So, you know, can't really fault him. You know, nobody expected that. That was like, you know. Like just out the blue, man. So you know, but he did good for the time period that he had. Can't lie.
What was that? 2015.
Yeah, 2015. I think we lost.
We only lost 35-28. Yeah.
And at the end of the game, Callaway had the pass.
It felt like Trae Young kind of digressed throughout that season, though. I remember being at that FAU game at the end of the year. And it was just a very frustrating game. I think the refs actually saved us from taking the L that game, to be real with you, bro.
But yeah, for real.
Like, you progressed more than progress.
You got to – it is – when you know, when something like that going on, you got to think about it, man. You the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? This basically from when it happened, he ain't play football or train. He was in Miami, like, the whole time. Now, it was bad on his end where it wasn't bad because he didn't know if he was going to ever play again, you know, going through that. So, it's like it was just a bad situation. So, and him coming to – you got Will Grill. We 6-0. Nobody thinking nothing this going to happen. So, he wasn't prepared. I'm just saying he wasn't prepared. You know, he ain't trained. He go through none of the summer stuff or the spring. So, he probably didn't even know the plays for real, you know. They were new. So, you know, shoot, everything was new. Treon, he wasn't around. So, yeah, man, he did the best he could, but he wasn't his best, though, you know.
No, for sure. For sure.
What was your favorite game that you had as a Gator?
My favorite game? Man, I say – if you want to be real, my favorite game, we lost it, but I think the Texas A&M was the game, was my favorite game. That game with those green uniforms.
Okay.
That's my favorite game right there. Like, I don't know what it was about that game. It just was a good game, though, for real, for real. That game and the Georgia game, probably when I scored against Georgia that time.
Yeah.
I say those two games. But yeah, that Georgia game.
How you felt about those swamp uniforms, though?
The green was hard, man. I was just showing my players.
He's got to hang it up behind him.
Yeah, those were hard.
That's
the reason why we lost, though, for real, though. We did.
For real.
Yeah, like, you got to think about it. You show us these hard uniforms the day of the game. Like, we come in the locker room, we like, you got guys forgot about the game. They taking videos of the uniform. You feel me? Like, oh, shit, I was one of them, man. I went, like, they should have gave us that Monday, and we should have practiced it or something. Like, when we walked in the locker room, we weren't expecting that own thing. I don't think we were ready for that. When we seen them uniform, we lost complete focus. So, that game played. Yeah. We spent so much energy in us showing it all, taking pictures, videos, so excited about it. By the time we got to the game, we did a lot of focus and a lot of energy, you know. So, but that ain't my favorite uniform, but that was hard. I like the all orange, though. I love when we wear all orange. That's my favorite one. All orange, every time.
Whenever we do all orange, people say, hey, we're not Clemson. Don't wear all orange. So we do all blue, they say that, like Kentucky. So, and players' favorite uniforms never match.
Yeah, I think a lot of us like the all on, though.
Hey, C, what do you think about these jerseys? This is what they're wearing next year. So, they got 4 games with blue helmets. You never wore a blue helmet, did you, or did you for one game?
No, I never wore the blue helmets.
Yeah, so they got blue helmets, and they got the throwback whites for homecoming. What do you think of the blue lid, orange jersey, and white pants?
Yeah, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. We doing man. Too much now. Nah? But I don't like that one right there. That's kind of crazy. Blue, that's crazy, yeah. I mean, you know, you never know, though. It might be hard, though, when they put it on, but I don't know. It ain't fresh, though.
They got videos of it online, man. If you go to the Gator account, they did some modeling of it. They not doing the McElwain mistakes. They give it to them now so the players can have their fun with it, you know, and not lose it, be too excited in the locker room. But did you guys wear the all-whites? You don't like the all-white combination?
Yeah, I like the all-white. It just – we be at away, so I didn't really like a away game for real. So that's why I ain't like the white. But, the white hard, too. The all white hard with the white helmets, that was hard.
Yeah.
The all white, yeah. Do they wear the white helmets still?
They haven't recently.
Yeah, hard. They need to bring them back or something.
Yeah, I don't think under Billy Napier they really ever went out of the comfort zone of traditional. Yeah, maybe the black.
Or black.
Other than that.
Oh yeah, the black. Yeah, the black was hard too. That black was hard. I like the black, but the blue, I don't like the blue helmet. I don't like the blue helmet. I like the throwback blue helmet. That was, I like that uniform style. That was nice though. But I don't like the blue, like the all blue crown.
How you feel about this regime, man? You know what you've been hearing? Are you in tune with the program? What's going on?
Yeah, man, I've been paying attention. Well, to be honest, I just be paying attention to the receivers a lot right now since I just got promoted to the receiver coach at the college I'm at. So that's mainly what I pay attention to, the receivers and the offense. But I think I feel like we'll be more explosive this year. I think we're gonna be more explosive this year. The old receiver, I think they hungry, you know, and they got Vernell Brown. I think like he's a good athlete, but he played with a chip on his shoulder. So I feel like this year he got a lot to prove to people or something. So I think he'll have a big year. Or the running back, Ball.
Yeah.
I see a big year from him this year, man. I seen him, man. He big, man. Like he like Matt Jones. He big though, man. He gonna be nice, man. Yeah, I think we're gonna be good though. As long as the defense gonna be good this year, I think. So we should be good, man. On the linebacker, I really have been worried about the edge rush. We ain't had nobody like, you know, I'm used to though them guys being on the end. So we ain't had some guys like that in a minute. So I hope that we got some guys like Dante's and, you know, CC Jerry.
I think Jayden Woods answered that call, man. I like Jayden Woods a lot in that capacity. I think he's gonna be the first one since Dante Fowler just create terror off the edge. Grenard had some flashes, but he was only 1 year.
Yeah, since Grenard, like in here haven't been nobody like that. Like, you know, we used to, guys, the DN spot was real important back then when we was there. So, and we had real ballers at the DN spot. So that's the only thing that I have been worried about. We didn't really like get a lot of pressure on the ball when they, you know, so if we can do that this year, we good, because the DB is nice though. The DB is nice. The linebacker is nice. I like number five. I'm not good with names, but I know they.
Ernest Graham. Not Ernest Graham, sorry, Miles Graham. I said his dad's name, Miles Graham. Yeah,
but he a smart dude. I think he's smart. And I just feel like they all got something to prove this year, man, because a lot of people been down them, though. So ain't this like his senior, Graham?
Junior year.
Junior, okay. Yeah, so, yeah, man. Statement year for real. For sure. Like the coach energy, too, man. He cool, man. I like Coach, man, when I met him down there, when I came to the coaching clinic that they had.
Oh, sick.
So, yeah, I was down there. That's when I saw everybody. So,
what's good. Talk to us a little bit. I don't think we've had anybody that's been in the coach clinic, and I know it's running through drills and all of that other stuff that, and giving perspective and whatnot. But what is, like, what do you guys do at the coaches clinic? And talk to us a little bit about the guys and the coaching staff that you met.
They had Jacksonville Jaguar head coach come speak. Cohen. Yeah, they had John Gruden speak. They had Urban Meyer speak. Steve Spurrier spoke, and then you know, like they had different guys that come speak and talk about. You know, you might have an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. You just have different guys get up and talk to, you know, position coaches or head coaches, whatever, and just give them, you know, how they do things in their room and how they want their offense to look, you know, as a receiver coach. Like, I learned a lot of everything I do with my receivers right now, I got from Florida. So, you know, I learned a lot from that, from the coaches down there, man, you know. And it's good, you know what I'm saying, for coaches if you're trying to learn. You know, if like me, I'm a beginner, so I'm trying to learn everything I can right now, how to speak and how to, just be a better football coach. So that's basically what those be about, man. Just it's like a, you know, like a camp for coaches, man. Just getting knowledge and stuff like that from different guys.
See, talk to us a little bit. So you're at Miles College now. You're the running back, or the wide receivers coach now. Talk to us a little bit about your transition into to coaching football.
Yeah. So when I left Florida, I had got the chance to go to Tampa Bay for a little while, but before I left Florida, I had hurt my knee like during the summer before we started on the season in 2018. So I was hurt the whole season, really. So I really had already kind of felt like I wasn't going to, you know, play as long. So when I came, once I came back home, I started being a school teacher or whatever. And I started off as a PE coach, and I was coaching the defensive backs at my hometown. And so, since I've been back, man, that's what I've been doing. You know, it was kind of easy to, you know, become a coach, because when I was at Florida, I basically was the leader. I ran, you know, I was the leader, the captain of the team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel like I was a coach then. That's what I just didn't know I was, you know what I'm saying? I was still trying to figure out myself. But when I think about it, everything I was doing at Florida really was just getting me ready for who I am today. Hell, I taught them everything for real when it came to, you know, outside of football and just how to be, you know, I was doing that already. And then just looking at our position, shit, I raised Kyle Pitts, you know, and Kamora Gamble and them guys. So, you know, I've been a coach. So it was easy for me to just get into it. You know, like I said, I'm still trying to learn, but it was easy, man. You know, I thank God for this, what he called me to do, too, you know.
Let me ask you this, man. I always have these questions I got to get, like, some intel on, my brother. What happened in the Tay Bang stuff, bro? You was an intricate piece in that, man. What was that?
So, when it came down to, like, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, man, don't know about the street for real. You know, these guys from the hood. You know what I'm saying? So, us being football players, yeah, Gainesville Logos. Us being athletes, we not knowing about the betting world. So what people didn't understand was it wasn't that we was betting each other. They was going to the bookie betting their money on the games, right? We supposed to beat FAU by 21 points, but we only beat them by 6 points. These boys betting $5,000 or however much money they want at the bookie. We don't know that. So the whole, every time we go out, they like, why y'all going out? And y'all sorry, y'all beat people by this and that in the dirt. And, you know, me being like that, like, I'm on that. So, you feel me? We ain't with all that talking. I'm like, shit, stop betting on us, because I'm not thinking. It's from our understanding, we thinking they betting each other. We don't know about the bookie. You know, that's what people didn't understand. We didn't know about going to the bookie and placing bets. So, that's how that started. You know what I'm saying? We knew these dudes. I had met them. And over the years, you know, as we, you know, We was cool, but it wasn't like they was fans basically. And we'll see them out. And then that season when we had started doing bad, when all the guys was out, I guess they were betting on us. And like every time we went out, they was saying stuff to us, you know. And so it got to a point where I'm like, shit, we ain't finna keep doing all that talking, you feel me? So that's when they got into some whole other stuff. But what's crazy is that these dudes supposed to be street dudes, but they the one end up telling the police everything. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what all it was. Somebody claiming to be a street dude and trying to look at us like, oh, we just athlete. But I was an athlete. Yeah, the old guy was athlete. But before I ever came to Florida, you know what I'm saying? I was, you know, so, you know, when we went, what it was, when we started putting them in their place, that's when we started, like, we got to tell. So that's all it was, man. Guys playing tough, acting like they street dudes, and then us athletes got on their type of time, and then it turned to something else, you know. So
who had the best hands on the team?
The best hands?
We talking fisticuffs. We talking about a square up. We ain't talking catching.
Yeah, not talking
me.
Yeah.
You?
Me. Yeah, me. Yeah, everybody on the team, everybody I fought on the team, no. or
I forgot who it was. Somebody like a month ago said you.
I'm gonna tell you.
Three people have said Lou.
I'm gonna tell you the untruth, man. I wasn't scared of him or nothing like that, but I fought everybody. If everybody, whenever the time came, except when that dude, Big David Reese, the freshman, you remember number four,
dude,
man, it was just something about him, man. I was a senior, man. He wanted to fight me, man. He was talking crazy, man. I was like, man, I'm not finna fight this freshman, man. It's just something about it. I couldn't lose to a freshman, you know. So I'm like, I ain't gonna even fight him, but. But yeah, man, I got stamped as soon as I got to Florida. Everybody was scared of Antonio Morrison, man, number three linebacker. Yeah. Everybody was scared of him. That's the first person I got into it with when I got down. Once I checked him and got into it with him, like, I was stamped. And so, like, you know, shit, anybody I got in a fight with, I really made them fight me for real, because they weren't going to fight me or whatever. Like, I would really like that. On the fight I speak on, though, because I never got the chance to really say my side of the story was with Jalen Tabor. So I know a lot of people probably wanted to know or never knew what happened for real. What happened was, you know, like I said, when I came from Alabama, I was the only dude from Alabama that used to treat me like I was a peon. And like you said, I went high ranked like these guys. These guys on the arm, All-American. So they felt like they supposed to been, you know, more known than me and get more love than me or whatever. But when it came down to like females or whatever, I was just like them, you know. Everybody treated me the same. Even though I went on the field, I still got the same love they got. And with me and him being together every day, you would think we like brothers. Like, I'm the type of person, like, I don't want your female. I don't want nothing to do with nobody you deal with. But when it came down to them guys, they grew, they raised different. I'm from Alabama, so I guess they ain't like that, you know. He backdoored me for a female, and then he started, like, trying to tell the bros, like, I'm mad at him about the female. It wasn't that I was mad at him about the female. We both had girlfriends that lived together. All of us had, me, him, and J.C. Jackson had females that lived in the house together. I had a female that lived next door. You feel me? So I'm telling him how I'm going next door, right next door, and because everybody hear what's going on when I'm going over there, smashing or whatever. So I'm showing, she take a new photo shoot for me. We 19 years old, so this shit nice to us, you know. I'm showing him, but the whole time, he getting jealous. So he backed on me for the female. So fast forward to camp of that when the situation happened, he had been storing little shit around the team, and he had stopped. He stopped being humble. Like, I think he had went on the news and told the news people that he was the best player on the team. He was throwing like little stuff on the team, and people weren't liking him because people were feeling like, you ain't the best receiver, you ain't the best tight end. So how you the best player? You feel me? You ain't even that fast, you know. So there was what was going on. It's like he was splitting up the team, and so one day at camp, you know, he had came up in my face after we had just, they had just stopped us on a 2 minute drive. We were trying to go score. And so he came in my face and he kept talking crazy. So I was like, get up out of my face, man. I'm like, get out of my face. And so he would never get out of my face. So when I got up, I pushed him in the face. Like, I pushed him like that. The man, he looked at Quincy Wilson and Marvin May. He looked at those boys. He had a helmet in his hand. He hit me in the head with the helmet. Like, I didn't have on the helmet. So I don't know if he thought he was going to, like, knock me out. He hit me hard because I had a big knot or whatever. Chris Rump was standing right here. When I looked at Chris Rump looked away. Chris Rump said he ain't see nothing but black in my eye. He ain't see white. So when I grabbed him, I hit him. When I grabbed him, I put my leg behind him and flipped him, right? So when I'm hitting him, blood skiing everywhere. I hit head, you feel me? So when I'm getting into him like that, I'm talking to him like, you going to hit me with a helmet? You feel me? You going to hit me? You know? And ever since that day right there, I really ain't had to really say nothing else to nobody. Jim McElwain wasn't going to suspend me. I told him that he needed to suspend both of us. See, he was going to only suspend Jalen Tabor because he hit me with the helmet. He could have killed me, for real. People don't know that. The man, I was just like this, and the man, he threw it. Like, he threw it in. Like, hit me with the helmet. how we brothers and you love me and you hit me with a hammer like that, you feel me? You could have just fought me, you feel me? So that's why I beat him up like that. And so everybody with him being with him being Jalen Tate being the starter, they took his side or whatever, but everybody knew the real. And when I came in the locker room, Quincy Wilson, Mark and May, they was talking crazy on the field. But when I came in the locker room, then nobody stand on business. That the coaches knew I wasn't playing, and that let the players knew I wasn't playing. And that homer Jalen Tate, but that's why we went and did what we did that season. He had the best season he ever had at Florida that year. So
he beat it out of him.
Beat it out of him, you know, homered him a little bit. So yeah, man. But yeah, I would really like that, man, when it came down to that. Because I wasn't faking. Like, I really grew up and did this for real. A lot of old guys came to Florida trying to rewrite their story, man. Like, just be who you are, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. But they know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
classic time, right? I don't know if you remember the fan Lil Ro back in the day, but he was a little homie of mine. We went to Friday Night Lights, and y'all had a little Twitter beef going on at the time between him. I guess he was saying something crazy to you.
So and we I inside.
So we had the IPF. Oh, with my son, right? So he said, "Hey, see Luke, he looking at me. You got my back." I said, "Hell no, I heard
yeah.
my."
Yeah,
hell no, I ain't got your back. Boy, I'm here with my son. I'm a father.
Yeah, man, I told him, that was my problem, man. Couldn't decide what I, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I was saying, man. We were struggling so hard that I was having to do stuff I ain't had to do. So I was doing what I was familiar with and being what I was familiar with instead of having to be a football player. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
If we had money, I wouldn't be had to been in the hood trying to, you know, or if they were looking out for us like they were. Like, we don't have boosters that come meet us and throw extra cash and then like we would, like I'm saying, like that matter, man. If you ain't got no money, you got to think about how you gonna get this stuff, man. We up here, I can speak on it now. I'm blessed. I don't got to do it no more. And I thank God that I ain't never getting in trouble for none of this stuff. But man, we robbing people and doing all type of stuff, man. You know, so shit, man. You know, how could I be a great athlete for the Florida Gators if I'm getting the bare minimum, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So people didn't understand that the thing that we were going through at Florida, man. We had just started getting a new facility. We had wood locker room to 2017. We had I think I had the wood locker room my whole career. I think they got the new locker room after I left, didn't it? So
yeah.
You know, like we were struggling, man. Yeah, man. So it's just good to see everything old boy got now, man. Like, for real. Like, man, I cried, man, just walking in there like, dang, man. Like, you feel me? Like, I was just like, dang, if I could have just had this. Like, they got their own parking lot. We didn't have a parking lot. So every day you leave practice, you get tickets. Now you got five people finna jump on the ticket, man. Not these five dudes are spending. But it could be prevented if you give us a parking lot.
Dang. Don't look at the parking lot now. See,
yeah, the parking lot. Florida Gators player choked the ticket man. Oh, he's so crazy. No, y'all just made $60 million, $90 million last year. It only gonna take $100,000 to $200,000 to build a parking deck. Spend that so you don't have to hear your players on the news choking out the ticket man. Yeah, man, it was a lot of stuff, man. We went through, man. Them folks were. And they'll paint us out to be the bad person when you could do stuff to prevent these things. They having us in all these counselings and telling us what we need to do to prevent the stuff we doing when they could have did better on their behalf, man. Mm-hmm. You know, they scamming, they doing this and that with them cars and all that. We ain't got no money to eat.
Yeah.
You make up move off campus. Yeah. You tell us move our campus our second year, our rent $800. When the summer come, you only giving us $400. What we gonna get the $800 from? I mean, the other four from. So now we missing, and we don't get that from May until school start back in September, August or whatever. So that 3 months, you're gonna be behind, now you $1,200 you owe, plus the rent that you gotta keep going, all right? You behind. So when them boys, now you worrying about rent, we was getting, when I first got to Florida, we was getting $75 every 21st or 22nd in the month. $75. That shit was gone. We were watching it hit
on the 23rd.
It was gone when it hit at 7 a.m. at 7:10. It spent. It was already gone when we got it. So, yeah, of course, we got to do all this stuff off the field, man. That's why we were so bad, man. Like, that was, they don't understand. We didn't have no money. We were broke. If we wasn't broke, we would have been the, I feel like my 4 years at Florida, we would have won every year. Every year. Dante Fowler. Man, you should have seen what they was feeding us. Yeah, they feeding us while we in their hands, but what about when we leave? What about when we go home and we at home from 7 to 8 o'clock the next day? Like, they ain't understand, man. They was putting us in the hole, man, you know. And that's why when Jim McElwain came, we started getting a little money. That's why they seen success like they seen. That's what I feel like. We had got bigger. Yeah. Then, and when Dan Mullen came, we got even more money. And then you seen Coach Savage came, and we were damn robot. Like, you feel me? Like, that's what matter. Money, the money matter. The money, it would have meant a lot to us back then. We could have been getting with these boys. You got a championship team. We win. The next year we win. 17 we win, because if 25 guys back on the field, who beat us?
Yeah, you know, so like I feel like even just speaking to like the come, it's more the system. It isn't just, you almost got to break the rules to take care of guys because of what the rules were. So it wasn't just a Florida thing, right? Like Bama and some other programs bent the rules and did some things.
Yeah.
To take care of the guys, right? And Florida just, that wasn't a thing they was going to risk, you know.
They did everything by the book. They wouldn't give you $2.
I was happy for NIL because I knew we weren't cheating at the level of Alabama and some of these other programs.
You got to think about Alabama. I'm firsthand. I see this going on. When you get to Alabama, you're going to get a family. Hey, we're going to take care of you your whole time here. If you need anything, you come to us. You don't ask anybody else. You come to us. Nick Saban owns several car lots. If you don't make it to the league, you're going to work at a car lot. You're going to end up being the owner of the car, CEO, whatever it is, of the car lot. Boom. Hey, man, I'm down here. Hey, we got to go up there. They're going to give you a car. You got a car. You ain't got to worry about how you're going to get to campus or not. They got parking on the front of their stadium or the front of their thing where the players go. So you ain't got to worry about no parking ticket. We're going to feed you. You got money. So you live in the – you don't got to know words. All you got to do is play football.
Right.
Like, you just got to play football. Miami, Florida State, them boys had people taking care of them. Like, we ain't had that. Nobody took care of us at Florida. That's why when them boys went to the league and them boys balling, like, Dante and them, all them boys earned that, man. Like, them boys, it wasn't no hands out gave to them boys, man. It wasn't no hand out gave out to nobody that was there up until – I say like 2020 was probably the last couple of people that was there when I was there, but them boys weren't getting no handout, man. We had to work, man. Like, we had to do, you know, get in trouble to get what we got.
Yeah, it's hard to drive in survival mode, man.
Yeah, but man, that's what make us different, man. That would make us different, man. For us to have went to two SEC championships without all that, like, shoot, just think about it. We were a team, you know, like. Man, it was crazy, man. But
see, I want to lighten the mood just a little bit. This has been great. It's been an awesome interview. I want to talk about this picture right here and how mad the internet got.
hey, man, so, we're crazy about that cat, man.
Yeah. So just for people that are listening, I know people are watching on live stream, but this is when Florida played LSU, and I guess – LSU fans got really upset because Mike the Tiger had been just diagnosed with cancer. Dude, talk to us a little bit about how you got this the cat skeleton.
So it was a game. It was a fan, man. He used to always be behind the bench. And when we used to run out, the cat used to, like, the mouth move, and it just used to be like the cat shaking or whatever. So when we played LSU, the man – the fan, he was like, yeah, man, the fucking cat just died, man. Yeah, the fucking Ellison cat just died, man. So, yeah, man, he's going dead cat. So he was like, here, you can have it. And he had the purple and the gold bees on the neck. And so, you know, now when I first got it, I didn't know this, you know, I didn't know that what was going on. And so when I posted it, that's when I figured out, oh, LSU Tiger died. So I'm like, oh, man, that's what this about. So I really didn't know what was going on, to be honest. I just was, you know, just having fun. And that's when the guy told me after the next game when I got it that it meant for LSU Cat that died. Because I think this game, we didn't play LSU this game right here.
Oh, no? Okay.
That was South Carolina game right there.
Okay.
Yeah, that was South Carolina game that we played it. But he was, but the cat had already, I guess, passed during the time. So when I got it that game, I just was having fun, you know. Then we played LSU, I think, the next week, and that's when
okay.
we went viral for it. I think we went down there and beat them in Baton Rouge.
Man.
Yeah, that was all, man. That was crazy, though, man, for real. Dang, I wonder where that cat, man. I gave it to somebody, man. I forgot.
He shouldn't have gave that away. He should have kept. That's a historic moment.
A cat, man. Yeah, man. Florida, so man. That's a lot of stories, man. A lot of stories.
See, this has been awesome. What's next for you? You just moved from you're what tight end coach, and now you're wide receiver coach there at Miles College.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you guys are nationally ranked. Talk to us a little bit about Miles College. I know. You guys are a good program. What's your goal? What's your future? What do you want to do?
So this year, last year we had a lot of young guys. You know, the coach that was at the school before our staff took over, he went to a D1 school, Alabama A&M. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the guys that was, you know, pretty decent went with him. You know, that's a better opportunity for those guys. So we were left with a lot of young guys and inexperienced guys. Unexperienced guys. So now we coming back with basically everything that we had last year, but they're more mature. They've grown a lot. So I'm pretty confident in the guy in the whole team. In my room at the receiver group, man, I brought in a lot of freshmen, and I got some returning vets. I got a guy from Miami, Gatewood, Kimora Gamble. He coached them down at his school. You know, he was a receiver coach at his school. So, you know, that was a man, him. Me and him got a connection.
South Ridge.
South Ridge. Yeah, Gatewood. Yeah. That's where he's from. Gatewood and the safety named Kurt. He from down there too. He said those boys up here. So with the receiver group, man, we look really really good. I expect a lot out of them this year. After this year, man, hopefully that we get a bigger opportunity, man, as a staff, you know. Or if I get an opportunity myself to go somewhere big, I want to, you know, continue to coach and, you know, one day be a big time coach. Shoot, hopefully I can get back to Florida one day, but that's what I'm trying to do. Just keep building my resume, keep knowing what I got to do for to go big, man. So we play our first game August 29th against Alcorn State. So that's a D1 school, you know, we D2. So we go out there and get a win versus them, that'll be big for us. And we're just going to keep stacking from now. But that's our main focus right now, Alcorn State. So, yeah, man.
Appreciate you for pulling up, my guy.
No, I appreciate your time, incredible. Man. Anytime.
One of the best shows we've done, man. One of the best interviews for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Appreciate y'all, man. Anytime y'all need me, man.
We appreciate you, see.
Go Gators, man. Season,
brother. Go Gators, yes, brother. Sir. Appreciate it.
Okay, y'all.
See you, brother.
All right, have a good one.
That was fantastic.
Man, that was beautiful.
That was incredible.
We got to bring him back for the game day eves, for sure.
Yeah.
At least
one. Maybe during a bye week or something like that. He's, I think he could go on for hours.
Yeah, bro. I like the perspective, man. No, they can't. The rules have changed, so it's not like we can get in trouble for anything like they're saying, or even him talking about Bama. But everybody, it's obvious what Bama was doing at that time,
yeah.
And the advantages that they had. And this is good to get some perspective from the player side on what they were going through, because a lot of people just think they got it made in heaven. you know, in the old system of what it was, of just playing on the scholarship. But some of those guys were in tough positions, some more than others. You feel me? So it was good perspective, and he was hilarious.
No, he's hysterical, and I mean, he saw it firsthand, right? I mean, a lot of these guys know what other schools were doing or offering, but his best friend and cousin, Bo Scarborough, was the same year at Alabama. And I don't think he's just talking out of his ass just to talk. I think that what he saw is factual. And he provides a very different perspective, one that either A, people aren't comfortable sharing on the show in the past, or B, maybe have different means or situations. But it puts a lot of perspective on what his experience was, but also what some of the things that they were dealing with, you know, during that time, and the success that they did have. And maybe it wasn't perfect and maybe it wasn't ideal, but certainly provides great perspective. And I hope everybody shares that interview. I think we'll cut it up and we'll make it its own segment. But that's one of the most real interviews from a player perspective that we've had in 7.5 years when Corey and I started the show. So let's switch topics real quick. I do want to give a shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. I swung by Alumni Hall when I was up in Gainesville this week. Go visit them, alumnihall.com, or go visit them in Gainesville right off of Archer Road, the largest selection of Florida Gators wear in all of Gainesville. So again, alumnihall.com. Corey, we'll do a position breakdown tomorrow or the week after. We've got one additional week. I do want to give a couple quick shout outs to some folks, and let me go find it here. Jaden Ball is a ESPN preseason first team All-American. Well deserved, I think. I think between him, Lacey, and the running back from Mizzou, you have three potential All-American running backs just in the SEC alone. That doesn't include, obviously, all the other conferences, but shout-out to Jaden Ball. I know it's preseason, but a well-deserved honor for a guy that going into last season, very few people even knew his name outside of Gator faithful. So shout-out to him. And then Jack Cheese looks like he's well-positioned over there at Ohio State. So what a backfield last year. It would have been great if both of them could stay healthy. But
I think Jack, here's the, I see people even saying that take. I think Jack's in a good position that worked for him at Ohio State. And I don't know what he would have fit in the current running back room. I like the, like, Jack Cheese doesn't have a home run hitter gear in him, right? And I think guys in our room outside, like Ball has it, but I think the guys behind him have something different that he brings. Nice change of pace.
Absolutely.
So I like our running back room. I seen 24 jumping over somebody in the pitcher yesterday. I love Duke. Need him to get back healthy. I think we got a very good running back room. And I think Jack Cheese in a good spot for himself, you know, that last final year. So
absolutely.
Sometimes it works out for everybody, man.
It does. I'm rooting for Jack Cheese. Gators in some of these polls that have come out, Gators number 20 in the preseason S&P Plus. Miles Graham was named to the Butkus Award watch list, and then Alec Clark was named to the Ray Guy Award watch list as well. Again, don't really mean that you have to be on the watch list to win the award, and it doesn't mean
that. Dang. Good call.
Sorry, just looking at the chat.
I wasn't on my right mic. Thanks. Ed, what is it? Eduardo, how do you say that name? Now you're executive producer, my guy. Thanks for giving me that heads up.
Wait, where? Oh, Eduardo. Oh, very good. Thanks, Eduardo. Let's see. Corey, this is where I think we're at with the scrimmage. We can talk a little bit. I think you and I have heard some similar things. I also know that there was very select media invited yesterday. I don't want to potentially get anybody in trouble about a gag order, and I know that they're going to talk about it tomorrow during Summerall's press conference. But I think Tramell Jones had the better day from what I heard from four different people, none of which are on this podcast, other than corroborating that with Corey.
Correct. Yeah, we kind of shared our notes from our note getters, but none of them came from anybody on this show. It wasn't any particular right or anything like that. But from what I heard, Tramiel had the better day. I have seen people saying that he just ran with the twos. That's not true. He did run with the ones as well. They both have been running with the ones and the twos. How many reps, I couldn't pencil that down. But just saying he ran with the twos isn't completely true. And also, I think we just, like, it's going to be a continual battle. There's a demographic out there that don't think this is a quarterback battle, and that's just a delusional space at this point. Like, it's a real battle. I would like for the quarterback, somebody to go win this job. It don't sound like somebody has went and won the job. Tramiel had a better day, but it sounds like this battle is going to be ongoing, maybe to the next scrimmage, or who knows, it may go all the way up into the FAU game. But I need somebody to go flat out just win the job. And just taking care of the ball. But, you know, taking care of the ball is one thing. We're going to need some guys. That's the bare minimum if it's no turnovers. But we need guys to go make plays and separate themselves. If it's a situation where both guys are playing really well and they couldn't tell the difference, that's one thing. But I think both guys have been somewhat pedestrian in what they're doing, and nobody's had been doing anything exciting to separate themselves. So that's just my overall take from quarterback on what I heard in camp. Or in the scrimmage, I would say, yesterday.
Yeah, no, 100%. I was talking with Travis on Thursday, and he asked me the same question. I said, well, you went and you specifically got a quarterback out of the transfer portal, and that person still hasn't been named the starter yet. So I'm not saying that he won't be or that he couldn't be, but I think that means they're either somebody is doing more than they expected, or neither is doing all that well, and I just don't believe that that's true. I like what we're hearing about what's going to happen, but I don't think even when an announcement gets made on whenever that is, the first week, if an announcement even gets made, all I know is he's definitely not going to run two quarterbacks out there like Will Muschamp did with Jacoby Brissett, Jeff Driscoll.
Yeah.
Bro, I was at that game and everybody just looked at each other like, this guy's getting fired. There's no way.
Yeah. This guy is special ed, is what I said. Get him out of here. But I'm with you, man. I like what I'm hearing from.
You got to read this real quick. It said, I heard Tramiel Jones threw for 600 yards, but when they switch him to blue helmets, he threw six picks. Yeah. Maybe.
I like the fighting Tramiel. Like I've always thought that Philo had a head start in the playbook, etc. And to me, it's just if they leave, and you know, I think Tramiel's leaving. I think Tramiel has a more upside. That's just my mm-hmm. perspective. I don't just think that the ranking services that rank these guys coming out of high school think the same thing. Tramiel was a 4-star, higher regarded, and it wasn't because of lack of exposure. I think Philo broke records in Georgia, and you know, regardless of the records he broke, he was a 3-star quarterback. I think just from a physical standpoint, Tramiel has some things that he brings to the table that a higher skill set, in my opinion. But let it all play out, man. Like, mm-hmm. let it all play out. There's no – whoever the quarterback, we're going to cheer for at the end of the day.
Yep.
You know, if you got a preference and you think one guy may win the job over the other, that's fine. Like, we'll have to beef about it.
Right now it looks like, and I think you and I, we didn't get to talk about this. I was texting somebody yesterday. I think you've got Cormani and Ben Hanks. I think Ben Hanks are probably your two starting CBs with Dijon and Javari being the first two off the bench.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Most of the big plays I've been hearing so far in camp is coming from 25, Cormani, and also yep. Ben Hanks. Those are the big play guys from what I've been hearing, like interceptions, you know, that those type of things I'm hearing from either Hanks or Money. But the two guys behind them are just as capable.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm looking forward to seeing – I thought Javari Flowers, I didn't know. You've got a connection with him. I know towards the end of the season when he was playing, he was starting to play quite a bit more. So – looking forward to seeing him.
He's going to play heavy. I expect him to play a lot on that gunner role, maybe get some kickoff return, punt return coverage. I hope he gets some of that. That's how he made his name in high school, really. He wasn't known as some big-time DB. People start watching him at DB after he started just cribbing some kickoff returns for Miami Northwestern. So hopefully he get an opportunity with some special teams.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Just trying to think if there's anything else. I'm going back to my doc here to see if there was anything else.
Scrimmage wise, we just talked about quarterbacks, but
yeah.
I heard my man Mays had a rough day, dropped some big passes. You know, it happens. I expect him to clean that up. So who else I heard had a big day at receiver?
Well, what's fortunate for Mays is at least everything else up until that point was balling. Super positive on it.
Yeah,
so
he's been balling.
Yeah, now he's just got to bounce back.
Yeah. I need him to do it more when the lights is on. Like, the scrimmages, all of this stuff, man. How you perform in the scrimmage does matter. Like, if players are turning over the ball, players are dropping the ball, players aren't executing in the scrimmage, that translates more to a game than drills. So these scrimmages do matter. Running back, I heard O-line is starting to look somewhat formidable, right? They're starting to figure out who's at what position. It's not looking like spring where they were trying to, you know, flip-flop guys around, try to figure out, you know, how you get your best five on the field. So I heard O-line is coming together somewhat.
Yeah, I think it's the same. Egan Boyer is a guy that I've asked a lot of questions about, and I keep getting shot down that it doesn't look like he's going to play all that much. I think he's going to be a starter from maybe Corey and I talked to one or two of the same people yesterday, but I think that there's a good chance that Ugorji and Boyer are starting next year, this upcoming season, at least at the beginning of the season. And we'll certainly see. You still have Caden Jones. You still have TJ Dice, but those are probably your starting offensive tackles right now. Shanahan will be there. Let me just go back. Najee Harris, Shanahan, Moore. So Ugorji, Harris, Moore, Shanahan, Boyer is what I think your starting five left to right is right now.
Team Zim Zim. Yeah, I think too, like, the quicker you figure out, like, whether it's tackle, who your five is on O-line, quarterback, every single position that you can figure out who's one on the depth chart and get them more of the reps, like more of the experience, the better in camp. Just from a football perspective, you want ideally to know who is one and who's where on the depth chart. And then once you got that figured out, you can always cross train with the twos, threes, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But your starters, you want to know who are those guys and get those guys most of the reps.
Right. Yeah. Especially this time of year. And I mean, we've talked to Phil Trotwine. We've talked to other offensive line coaches on this show. Like, that five of them gelling together is going to be so important for them to figure out, because there's so much more of them gelling together than them individually being the slightly better than the other, right? So the quicker you can figure out that five and get them working together for these next 3 weeks leading up to the season, the better you're going to be solidified going into next year. But like you said, Corey, I'm hearing that there's some other folk, like, it's not just us struggling to get five guys out there. There is 7, 8, potentially even 9 that you're going to see some consistent play out of. So I've heard it's just not maybe that bad, or it's developed quite a bit. We have to remember that, like, there was a long gap in between spring football, when a lot of them just got shoved together on a football team for the first time under a new coaching staff, to the offseason with player-led practices, film room, and then now back into it. There's a lot that can change during that time, and I want you guys to be cautious about where you hear some of that information from, just moving forward about what you're hearing. But I think the Gators might be in a decent spot on the offensive line. They've got talent. They've got size.
You just got to stay healthy. That's the thing, too. I think if you know, you got to win the war of attrition. I like what I'm hearing from Ty Jackson, the linebacker. I love our starting linebackers.
Yep.
But hearing him, like, the plays he's making, and, you know, how he's asserting himself as well, like, you know, fighting for some playing time and snaps. I love the linebacker room. I think we can win that war of attrition. You know, I don't think, you know, a injury with those guys, those two, our main two guys. Aaron Childs, I heard, is having an animal of a camp as well, man, since they've gotten in pads. So I feel real good about that linebacker room.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what we discussed last week. So we didn't get the chance to ask your opinion. I mean, between Jaden Robinson, Miles Graham, and Aaron Childs, I love that top three there. And then you have Miles Johnson and Ty Jackson. And we talked about how Billy Napier said that Ty Jackson, his film, and he's a 5'6" boy, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Locks, so
the best film that he's ever seen. So
He's a gangster, man. Go look at that tape. Very violent linebacker. He's how you want your linebackers, bro. I think we got overall room, one of the best. And shout out to Miles Grant for being on the Buckets Award list, too.
Yeah, that's another huge.
That's huge, man. When the last time we had a backer on that?
Maybe Antonio Morrison. Jane Davis. I don't think they had Tony.
Davis. Probably Jared Davis.
Probably Jared Davis.
Yeah, we can look that up. Probably talk about it a little bit tomorrow on tomorrow's show, but we'll get more in depth with the scrimmage. I don't want to, like, you know.
Yeah, we're gonna do more of this tomorrow. Again, you know, there's a moratorium, we'll call it, on discussing a lot of the breakdown of what's happening. And I know that there's going to be a discussion tomorrow with John Summerall, and they can ask any questions of what they saw in the scrimmage yesterday. So I think you guys will get some more answers. I know there's a question about injuries. I didn't hear anything about injuries, but sometimes those injury things come up after, or somebody got dinged up, or there was an injury, but it's not serious. So we'll hopefully know more and be able to talk more tomorrow. We're going to sit down with Scott Strickland tomorrow at around 11, and then we're going to chop it up together as a podcast a bit after, and then we'll release that probably around the same time that we would have started our Monday shows, and then we'll be back to Sunday night through the rest of the football season, then back on Fridays as well.
Content is heavy in the fall, man. Hey, tap in with Ben Chase and I as well. We got a podcast that we're dropping, a show called Fair Game. We'll be discussing top 25 headline stories that's, you know, in all of college football, and maybe some stories that's not college football. If it's a, you know, if it's fair game, everything's fair game. Everything's on the table, you know? Yeah.
I love it.
That's pretty much it right there. Right.
That's going to be awesome.
The logo should have been a guy doing this right here for sure. Everything's fair game.
I love it, man. Well, Corey, always good chopping it up with you. We will see you guys all live next Sunday, but we will be dropping that interview with Scott Strickland tomorrow, as well as some additional thoughts and everything else. Appreciate C. Lou. We appreciate our sponsors. If you have a company or you're interested in sponsoring Game Day Eve, we're looking for one of those. Feel free to reach out to us. We'd be happy to chat with you. And if you're interested in doing some social media, we're looking for somebody that can help us a little bit more with social media on the pod. It is a paid position. So feel free to reach out to us. Other than that, we'll see you at the same corner, different time next week. See you guys. Have a good one.